it's clear that Israel has catastrophically underestimated the world's backlash against its attack on Gaza, you know, following the October 7th Hamas attacks on Israel. The dynamics that are at play right now have never existed in the world in this fashion. And where Israel miscalculated is in underestimating the world's dependence on stability in the Middle East, specifically tied to energy, but not only energy, and that the threatening of the destabilization of that dynamic, especially energy exports, is now a critical, even an existential issue for many Western nations who previously had been a lot more energy independent or reliant or redundant. For example, Western Europe, ever since the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, which was carried out by the US Navy, Western Europe has had a shocking lack of energy supplies. Lack of natural gas affecting industry, causing economic, you know, implosion, and difficulty in heating buildings, shockingly higher electricity prices as well as energy prices. Now, last year's winter in Europe was very mild, and so they sort of escaped the worst effects of that. But this year is anybody's guess. If it's a severe winter, Western Europe is going to be in real, real trouble because they don't have that energy supply from Gazprom. So now when the Middle East begins to talk about cutting off liquid natural gas, LNG exports to Western Europe because Western European countries are supporting Israel and Israel is committing war crimes and genocide against Gaza. And whether or not you agree with that, certainly the Arab nations absolutely agree with that. The nations that control the oil, they agree with that. And they are calling for, increasingly, more and more countries are calling for an energy embargo of halting all exports of LNG to Europe. That would be absolutely devastating to Western European economies because, well, even though especially the Nordic nations are sitting on a massive amount of oil, or not oil, but natural gas, they have refused to harvest that because they've all gone woke with the climate cult. And so they even shut down their infrastructure and they were relying on Russia for LNG. Or just, in that case, via Gazprom, it wasn't liquefied, it was just natural gas in gaseous form. But they relied on Russia, and now that's gone. So Western Europe is going to be in some real, real trouble here as this situation escalates in the Middle East. Now, something very similar is true in the United States. And that's because of the presidency of Joe Biden. One of the very first things that Biden did when he was, you know, installed in the Oval Office as the fake president, because he did not win the election. It was all rigged. But he began signing executive orders shutting down oil exploration and even federal lands licensing deals in Alaska and other places that were previously licensed for energy exploration. Those were all shut down. Pipelines were stopped. You know, the Keystone XL pipeline stopped. It would have been finished by now. But now it's been paused since Biden was installed. You have energy exploration in coastal waters that has been halted. And then you've had sabotage of refineries and even LNG export hubs in the United States to the point where the U.S. is no longer energy self-reliant and the U.S. must rely on imports of energy from other countries. Now, then at the same time, war with Russia via the proxy state of Ukraine also interfered with Russia's export of both gas and oil derivatives, causing Western nations to have to resource their supplies from nations other than Russia. And this has, ever since then, has caused supply chain disruptions throughout the energy supply chain, while enriching Russia, by the way. In fact, Russia is positioned to benefit the most from a Middle East energy embargo because world energy prices would go through the roof. And as a result, Russia would be able to continue to sell its oil and gas supplies to lots of willing nations that are happily buying them, such as India, for example, at even higher and higher prices. So right now, Russia is getting well over $60 a barrel which was supposed to be the limit that the West imposed on Russia, which didn't really work. It was another attempt at an economic sanction that failed. But, you know, how much money will Russia make when oil is $150 a barrel or $200 a barrel? You know, Russia will recoup its entire expenditure of its war with Ukraine in 1 year as oil skyrockets because of tension in the Middle East. So that's just one dynamic. Another dynamic to understand is that people of Palestinian ethnicity now exist in substantial numbers in Western nations and Western cities. This is why you have Palestinians protesting in London, in Paris, in New York City, and in other locations, Sydney, Australia, for example. And this is only going to get larger and larger and more, I don't want to say violent because most of the protesters are peaceful, but it's going to become more impassioned. And there may be some violent extremists, which I'll talk about in a second, but even just the protests, if they never become violent, these protests are providing a tremendous amount of political pressure and protest pressure, even targeting, for example, State Department Secretary of State Antony Blinken, or targeting members of Congress or members of the Senate and so on. And this is only going to increase, and it will affect elections in America. So Joe Biden, his administration, is not at all popular with most young leftists today who are paying attention to this situation in the Middle East, because the impression they get, which I think is accurate, is that the Biden administration is fully in favor of genocide and ethnic cleansing because the U.S. is selling weapons to Israel. The weapons are being used to carry out actual war crimes, such as the bombing of that refugee camp that took place in Jabalia. The six bombs that were dropped on that camp in one day that now we believe have killed and wounded many hundreds of people, those were U.S.-made bombs. Six 1,000-pound U.S.-made bombs dropped on civilians on purpose. Israel admitted to it. This was not debated. Israel said, yes, we did that, and we justify it because we killed one Hamas commander who was hiding among the refugees. So when young leftists hear this, they say things like, well, there's no way I'm voting for Joe Biden. And they won't. This could be the issue that completely destroys, especially the youth vote for the Democrats. Now, by the way, a similar thing is happening on the conservative side of things, where people like myself have said, I can't vote for Trump, because Trump is out there saying he wants to support all kinds of weapons for Israel, no matter what it takes, no matter, you know, how long it takes, no matter what the cost. Trump is all in for Israel, even when Israel is committing war crimes. So I can't support Trump. Well, if a lot of leftists can't support Biden and a lot of conservatives can't support Trump because I'm not the only one, it starts to bring in the question of, you know, independent candidates such as RFK Jr. and Dr. Shiva, who I recently interviewed on these subjects. And frankly, Dr. Shiva is making a lot of waves because he's the only candidate out there that is saying no more weapons for Israel. He's the only candidate saying that I'm aware of, by the way. So the events in the Middle East will impact the 2024 election if we make it there. Now, there's another major factor that not a lot of people are considering, and it's the financial factor or the currency factor. The more the U.S. supports Israel, the more rapidly the BRICS nations turn away from the dollar in carrying out clearing their transactions, especially transactions in oil. So, for example, Saudi Arabia has already been selling oil in currencies other than the dollar. So the so-called global dollar hegemony has already been shattered, by the way. But it's going to vanish even more quickly as especially these Middle Eastern nations, but also other observer nations, including, for example, Bolivia, that has just cut ties with Israel, completely cut diplomatic ties. and, you know, Yemen, and there will be various African nations that do the same thing. The U.S. is seen as enabling war crimes, and the U.S. dollar is increasingly seen on the global stage as the currency of genocide. And as a result, more and more countries will say, you know, even if it costs us a little more to use some other currency, such as the yuan or the rupee or the ruble or whatever, they will say it's worth it because we cannot support the U.S. empire and its genocide by using its currency. And you can bet that that conversation is happening right now all over the world. This means that BRICS initiatives are going to be accelerated to be put into place even more quickly than we thought. And there was an announcement out of Russia, by the way, just today, a Russian official saying it looks like BRICS is going to be rolled out in 1 year. So, you know, late 2024 is when the key member nations, five of them, are going to convert over to BRICS and just abandon the dollar. And that means the U.S. dollar may have 1 year left. If even that, right? I mean, depending on who you talk to, the dollar may have less than 1 year remaining. And I pointed out also that the vulnerability of the U.S. empire, even though it has a very strong navy and aircraft carriers and so on, well, that navy has to be supported through debt spending. And the minute the currency collapses, which can be accelerated by the other nations out there, including Arab nations and Persian nations, you know, Iran, for example, carrying out trades that specifically exclude the dollar, this will only accelerate the demise of the dollar. And when you can't fund the Navy, well, the ships leave the Mediterranean Sea because no Navy sailors work for free. They all have to have paychecks, and you got to pay all the maintenance and all the materials and all the fuel and all the nuclear engineers and everybody else, all the spare parts for all the airplanes on the aircraft carriers. When the dollar dies, the Navy dies. Understand that. When the dollar dies, the U.S. military dies. And so actually, one of the most acute and effective attacks against the U.S. military is the attack on the dollar. Now, China has a lot of influence in that space because they hold a lot of U.S. debt. And China has been selling off many billions of dollars, tens of billions of U.S. treasuries. If China decides to wholesale, like everything goes, just make a big announcement, we're selling off everything we have remaining, which I don't know what that is, $900 billion or something like that, then, you know, it's the debt market for U.S. treasuries basically collapses because the rest of the nation is like, well, gosh, we don't want to buy these. If China's dumping them, who's going to buy treasuries? Well, the Fed will have to print money to buy the treasuries, and then you're in a hyperinflation doom cycle, a spiral of doom. And then it's not long after before the dollar collapses, and then the U.S. military collapses and the U.S. government collapses. You know, this is the U.S. has never been more vulnerable in its history than right now. And the Arab nations and Iran, on top of that, have never been stronger. And Russia has never been stronger as an independent nation. You know, Putin rebuilt Russia from the ashes after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Russia today is a powerhouse of industrial output, of innovation, engineering, scientific engineering, hypersonic missiles, nuclear-powered loitering cruise missiles that nobody else has in the world, not even China, by the way. I mean, Russia has become, Russia's risen from the ashes like the phoenix, whereas America is just printing money, and yet lacks the technical innovation that Russia and China demonstrate, or even that Turkey demonstrates, frankly. So Israel has vastly overestimated the strength of its ally, the United States. And of course, the U.S. government also vastly overestimates its own strength, especially relative to the nations that it is facing, including Iran, potentially Turkey, Russia, China, and so on. The end result of this is almost certainly that Israel and the United States are defeated in the Middle East, and then history changes even more than you might imagine. And understand that the U.S. can launch all kinds of bombs and missiles, and Israel has them too, there can be a lot of destruction where it looks like various nations, for example, Lebanon, is being attacked, or even Iran. It looks like they're being destroyed. But in fact, the Arab nations are so large and so populous, and America and Israel are so outnumbered in the Middle East that unless they manage to completely wipe out all of the Persian people and the Arab people, which is impossible, then they cannot be victorious. So Israel and the United States have no path out of this other than peace if they want to, you know, be winners, so to speak, and they refuse peace. They reject peace. And as a result, well, history is unfolding in a way that will not be favorable to Israel or the United States. It will be probably a military defeat of Israel and a fiscal or currency wars defeat of the United States. That's what it looks like we're headed for. But thank you for listening. That's my analysis for today. Stay tuned. I've got a lot more for you, of course, coming up. Check out my channel on Brighteon.com. The channel is HR Report, which is Health Ranger Report, of course. Be sure to check out other shows at Brighteon.tv, many other hosts there. And then Brighteon.social is the social media site where you can find a lot of breaking news in real time. It's an outstanding place to monitor what's happening. And then, of course, I'm also on Telegram at Real Health Ranger. Thank you for listening today. God bless you all. God bless America. Join me in praying for America, because we're going to need it. Take care.